Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Jeremy Burton, a professor of microbiology and immunology at Western University, a research scientist specializing in microbiome research with the Lawson Research Institute at St. Joseph's Hospital, and a co-founder of the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative, and Dr. Carla Liria Sanchez-Lafluente, a postdoctoral researcher with Western University and the Lawson Research Institute at St. Joseph's Hospital, and the coordinator of the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
A webinar planned for Tuesday, February 24th at 12 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Eastern, hosted by Canadian Food Focus and the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative, will examine the benefits of including fermented foods in the diet. First of all, what is the Canadian Fermented Foods Initiative? Who is involved in that initiative? When was it launched and why? And with what objectives?
That's several questions in one. So let me perhaps begin. So the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative was a initiative that was funded by the Western Family Foundation. And it was an initiative that was formed because there is a lot of interest in fermented foods, especially on the health side of things. So people are probably familiar with fermented foods as just something tasty to eat or a way of preserving foods, but actually there's also an interest now in the health benefits of fermented foods, and populations that eat fermented foods tend to have better health outcomes. However, why that occurs and with what fermented foods are somewhat a little bit elusive to us. So the Fermented Food Initiative formed originally to try and, you know, look at fermented foods for their health properties and figure out how to determine, you know, what fermented foods had the best health properties and how we would potentially study them in a way that we study other things such as medicines to see if they're beneficial. So it soon became clear that, you know, fermented foods were of interest beyond just researchers interested in health and the microbiome. I'm interested in the microbiome, which is all the microbes that live in and on you and how they interact with things like fermented food. It became clear that, you know, lots of people had an interest in fermented food for different reasons. And we wanted to actually make the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative really a place for all the different people to potentially land on. So we undertook a study across Canada of about 4,000 Canadians to see what their fermented food habits were, what they ate, and what they thought of fermented foods with regards to benefit and many other things. And so we put out a white paper which sort of outlined the behaviors of Canadians eating fermented food. And we decided that there's lots of different things that we need to address around fermented food. We needed to make sure that people were educated about fermented food because it seemed that a lot of people didn't really understand what fermented foods were. We needed to describe fermented foods because, different fermented foods, even fermented foods that are the same are made differently and have different qualities for health and other things. So we need standards for fermented foods. We need to educate people on how to make fermented foods or if they don't make them, which ones that they should potentially buy. And obviously we needed to connect people that already make fermented foods, such as industry partners, with the population and bring this sort of all together and sort of coordinate this in one initiative. And so that's sort of the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative in a nutshell, we've put a lot of those resources into one place through the website that we have. And so that's the first phase of this particular project.
So, what are fermented foods? What foods typically are fermented, and what does the process involve?
Yeah, so fermented foods are really it could be described as a transformation of food, and to my knowledge, just about every type of food can be fermented. It's transformed by microbes, and microbes use the sugars or the proteins in that food, and they use them to for their own metabolism, and they produce these substances such as acid and other compounds which transform that food. So it's really a transformation of food by microbes, and how that transformation occurs depends on the microbes. And some of those microbes are already present in the food. So if you think of things like sauerkraut and people making sauerkraut, they don't have to add microbes to that. There's already microbes on the leaves of cabbage, which will convert the sugars in the cabbage juice into acid. But in other fermented foods, such as yogurt, we may add a starter culture of microbes that we know have certain properties to make yogurt thick and acidify yogurt. So different microbes, different foods, but really, just about every food can be fermented in some way. So we have milks, grains, meat, fish, and I'm sure that there's many more that I'm missing out there, but they can all be transformed into different products through the process of fermentation.
Yeah, and I'd like to add another layer of classification of fermented foods based on whether they contain live microbes or not. So as we said, for a fermented food to be a fermented food, it needs to be transformed by microbes. But that doesn't mean that at the time of consumption, that food still contains the microbes, right? Because there's processing, you can pasteurize, you can filtrate, you can heat, and those microbes disappear. So there's fermented foods that we don't really think about, like let's say vinegar or soy sauce, that are fermented foods, but they don't contain microbes anymore. So that's another distinction on types of fermented foods.
What is the history of food fermentation, and why has food typically been fermented?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, every culture has a history of fermentation, primarily to preserve food. So, fresh food typically has a limited shelf life, and if you preserve something that's really available in abundance at a particular time of year, well, then you can enjoy that and give you nutrition at other times of year that when maybe other types of food aren't available. So, traditionally, every culture we see that, and we see different cultures with different diets around the world. Some are more grain based, some are more dairy based. But yeah, we've seen all cultures kind of engage in this kind of activity, and even kind of more recently, we see activities by sailors eating things like sauerkraut to prevent scurvy, which is vitamin deficiency. But yeah, we've traditionally done it because it's been a way of food preserving. More recently, I guess we like the taste of cheese and things like that. And actually, if you look at our survey results from the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative, people really like fermented food because of the taste. Health is more of a recent addition to why people eat fermented foods. It's becoming clear that in large population studies that people that consume more fermented foods seem to have less chronic diseases than those that don't. So the health side of things is a little bit more new, really just because people have sort of more recently thought about this. In saying that, people like you might have heard of Metchnikoff. He was a guy who was given the Nobel Prize for sort of discovery of part of the immune system. He actually promoted fermented food and went on to be sort of the father of probiotics, which fermented foods and probiotics aren't exactly the same thing, but that started around 100 years ago. So people have been starting to become aware of the benefits of consuming foods containing some live microbes.
How widely are fermented foods used today?
Carla, maybe
Yeah,
you could
yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Jeremy already touched a bit on that, but I want to add something here. I mentioned that the flavor part, so fermentation also increases flavor and changes texture. So it's widely used in high cuisine, so in top restaurants in the world, like the Noma, Michelin star restaurants. They really use fermentation in their different foods they make. So that's one of the places that people use fermentation. In terms of currently, well, we saw in the survey that there's a lot of Canadians that already consume fermented food. Some are due to their cultural background, like the fermented foods from their cultures, from like family history. But then there's also all these new people consuming fermented foods due to the health benefits. So there's more consumption of, let's say, kombucha, kefir, those types of fermented foods that right now are more showing up in our shelves in the grocery stores.
what are the key overall advantages of food fermentation?
Yeah, so fermented foods provides some nutrients, especially certain vitamins, that you can only get from your microbiome or fermented food. So by eating the fermented food, it can give you those vitamins in another way. So that's a one of the key advantages. It can obviously provide health benefits, but it also allows us to, cut down waste. So in this current world, if we're, producing a lot of something that is going to expire, it allows us to take that product and produce something that may spoil and allow its, consumption later on, and produce, other products that are quite useful for us in society. So actually, fermentation is widely used to make a number of products, from alcohol to acid, which we use in food. So, fermentation is critical. It provides a whole range of different flavors and products, and Carla kind of alluded to that. So it's very much important for many, many properties of our foods, whether people were aware of that or not.
Yeah, and I want to add that regardless of specific health benefits, like a lot of fermented foods are also more digestible too. So during fermentation, there's specific molecules that our body can't really digest very well, such as lactose, gluten, etc. That those molecules are digested by the microbes that are in the fermented food, and then when you consume them, they're no longer gonna be impacted, like impacting our digestion. So that's another benefit why people might choose to eat fermented foods. Yeah, and then another one is, for instance, it can also decrease allergens. So, for instance, in nuts, a lot of people have allergy to nuts, but you can make a fermented non-dairy cheese out of nuts that during that fermentation, that allergen in the nut is decreased and no longer causing issues to the person who eats that food. So there's a lot of other benefits.
What will be the focus of the February 24th webinar? Who will be participating and discussing what topics?
Yeah, so that webinar is going to be a collaboration between the Fermented Food Initiative, as well as with the Preserving Chef, which we've been working together. And so it's going to be a talk given by me. It's going to be an overview of the health benefits of fermented foods, a little bit of what the initiative has been doing. And then we're going to get Chef Connor Flynn, who's leading the preserving chef, giving a little bit of some tips on how to make your own fermented foods at home, how easy it is to incorporate them into your diet. And we're going to have some questions and answers period. So yeah, we really are hoping to get a mix of people, general public, as well as people who are interested in health benefits or just in fermenting at home.
What are the overall health implications of fermented foods? What compounds play roles? And just how significant are those factors?
People have done two sorts of studies on fermented foods. They've done, very large studies looking at population health in general ways. So quite often those studies don't necessarily dial down into the details of what types of fermented food are consumed by people, but we know that those people that consume more fermented foods tend to have a health benefit. So there's those sorts of studies. Then we have the other sorts of studies that will take one particular fermented food, produced in a certain way, and they'll look for one specific thing that provides a benefit, one health outcome. And so really part of our job is to work out more of what's going on with fermented food. We know that some fermented foods produce some beneficial things. So I've mentioned vitamins, but also literally microbes can produce, a whole array of different compounds with potential health benefits. Dairy is a good example of that, that microbes can break them down into a number of, taking a milk protein like casein and breaking it down into a number of products that have been shown to be beneficial to humans. So there's no one way that fermented foods necessarily work. We know that if live microbes are present, they might in fact have an immune response. So there is many ways that fermented foods may be beneficial, and we need to do the science now to determine, first of all, which products have those beneficial properties, and also what happens when we generally eat more fermented foods in a combination of fermented food products. Now, the average person doesn't just consume one fermented food product. They like to consume an array of fermented foods. And what is the benefit of consuming generally more fermented foods? And we've seen some early studies that suggest that actually eating that array of fermented foods, but just, eating more of them is actually more beneficial than just, increasing dietary fiber and things like that. So those are the studies that we need to do, and some of the things that we hope to be involved with through the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative.
How can anyone interested get more information on the inclusion of fermented foods in the diet or participate in the February 24th webinar?
Yeah, so checking our website called fermentedfoods.ca. We also have some social media like Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find information there. We've put together some educational resources for the general audience. We have put together some recipes in collaboration with the preserving chef, some information on the health benefits. So all that information can be accessed there. And then if you're more of a person who learns by listening, you can join the webinar and you can register. It's free. So you can find the link on Canadian Food Focus website as well as our fermentedfoods.ca website.
Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks again for having us. It's been really interesting.
Thank you so much.
Our guests have been Dr. Jeremy Burton, a professor of microbiology and immunology at Western University, a research scientist specializing in microbiome research with the Lawson Research Institute at St. Joseph's Hospital, and a co-founder of the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative, and Dr. Carla Liria Sanchez Lafluente, a postdoctoral researcher with Western University and the Lawson Research Institute at St. Joseph's Hospital, and the coordinator of the Canadian Fermented Food Initiative. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.